You look into the secrets of our lives and our hearts that you find gratitude and you find a life that is desirous to live that life that you would be approved of, as we know in 2 Timothy, to be workmen that are approved by you. And God, I just pray you continue to just be with us tonight as we study through some of the scriptures, Lord, again, that you'll help give us an understanding and some clarity. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. This morning, as we were going through our study, hopefully that didn't confuse anybody this morning, talking about walking in the Spirit. That's something that has always been interesting to me, of how we accomplish that and how we do that. But what's more interesting is that inner battle. And I really think that there's an inner struggle as we live our life that at times we, I won't say we're not aware of, but we don't pay attention to. Because a lot of times, if you're like me, you're going through your day, you're going through life, you're making decisions, you're making choices, you're doing things, you're doing what's required of you, and then all of a sudden something happens, and you're like, why did that just happen? Or if somebody, you know, we could use the old illustration of somebody cuts you off in the car, and you know, all of a sudden you get angry or something, it just whips right out of you, and you're not even paying attention, and so. I think that inner battle rages more than I think sometimes we're aware of. And so I want to go back to that concept tonight. I'm going to look at that a little bit deeper about that inner battle, because I truly believe that understanding the conflict about our personal sanctification, and that's the big word, that's what being led by the Spirit will result in, is that we will be set apart. We are set apart at salvation. We are sanctified. But then that's an ongoing process. It's something in our life that shouldn't just quit. As we saw this morning, the keeping on, keep on walking in the Spirit. So obviously God did not want us to come to an area in our life or a plateau in our life where we think we've arrived, where we finally got a handle on life. We finally got a handle on the scriptures, and we're living life okay, and we're doing the best we can, and we're praying every day. We're reading the Word of God every day, and listen, there's a battle raging within. And that's the battle I think God really wants us to get a hold of. Because we can't control the things that happen outside coming in. We can't control what the world's doing. We can't control how things on the outside are affecting us. We can control the battle within, which a result of that is how we respond. Because if you're, have you ever been on a day where you're just sort of like at the end of your ropes? You know, it's been a rough day. You had a few people that really irritated you, or am I the only one? You guys are looking at me like, I don't have anybody. Yeah, you got. Everybody has people who irritate them. Yeah, you get to that point where you're just one more thing, you know. And so on those days, that's when the battle is raging. If we really dig in deep and realize that this personal battle or conflict that we have in the personal sanctification, I think that the greatest way that we can understand this is seeing how important or how much that sin nature in us still wants to win. It still wants to be alive. It still wants to win. And so jump into Romans chapter 7. We're going to see Paul's example. Paul, I think, had a tremendous example of this. And I think I'm safe in to say that every one of us here tonight has a inward battle with our sinful nature. And if we didn't, man alive, life, Christian life would be so easy to live. But there's a battle that rages within us. And, you know, the problem is, and I think one of the things why we may not be quite aware of it, is where are we looking at to see how well we're doing? Are we looking at others in the world and saying, man alive, I am doing a whole lot better than that person. I'm living my life a whole lot better than that person. And we forget that the inner, God is the one who sees the secrets of the heart. God's the one who goes inside. And this whole new covenant, New Testament that we deal with is all about the inside. It's the working of the inside that God is worried about, or at least wants to be a part of. So we jump into verse 14 of chapter 7. Paul here is beginning to talk about his spiritual life, and he's making a transition from the previous verses, which dealt with the law and sin in his life, from 7 to verse 13. And he states a lot of things about the law. And we've been, I know Eric's even brought up about the law, and we're studying the Galatians about the law. And Paul now is going to, in verse 14, changing this to the personals. He's changing it, I believe, illustrating his personal illustration with the battle that he has. And I look at this, and as I study through this, I thought, you know, if Paul had a battle with his sinful nature, who do we think we are when we say we don't? I mean, every one of us do. There's nobody alive that doesn't have a personal struggle with this. So, again, understanding some of this relationship that we have as a believer in our sinful nature, I think will help us in this process. So first of all, we see in verse 14, and I'm going to read verse 14, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." There's three statements in there that are quite interesting. First statement he makes, "For we know that the law is spiritual." Look up in verse 12. "Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good." Why is that? Because God gave them. The law is good simply because God gave it. And God's not going to do something. God don't make mistakes. God don't make junk. God's going to do it. He's going to do it right. So when God gave the law, and he's saying back in verse 14 that it's spiritual because it come from God. So understanding this idea that it is a spiritual thing, we know that in John chapter 4, verse 24, it says that God is the Spirit. So it came from God. It's a spiritual law. And so I think that's important to realize. He never said the law was to be thrown away. And we understand that. We realize that. Can you imagine the chaos? Look at the chaos our world is in, and there's laws. Imagine if there wasn't. I mean, they're doing things. We saw one thing. I stepped on thin ice this morning. Might as well keep going. They took down the American flag and the Israeli flags in New York and put up Palestinian flags for Veterans Day. And they were allowed to do so. We're living in a world that doesn't make sense. We're living in America that doesn't make sense. And so, all of this understood, there is a battle raging. Because it's interesting, when I said that, you could almost see everybody like, oh, you got a sinful nature battling right there. Because if you were like me, you want to go take care of that issue. That's the battle. That's how easy things from the outside coming in stir that nature up. I'm not saying you're not wrong in that concept, because it's something that really bothers me in that mindset. But the law is spiritual. And Paul says, but I am carnal. And we just proved that. We're carnal. Does that mean Paul's unsaved? Does that mean Paul lost his salvation? He's carnal. Carnal means he's of the flesh. When you talk about somebody who is being carnal, they're acting in their flesh or their sinful nature. Paul says, I'm that guy. The law is spiritual, I am carnal. And when he says the phrase that he's sold under sin, it's quite interesting, because when he's relating his personal experience to this, he's describing his present conflict as a Christian. He's not talking about before the road to Damascus. He's not talking about when he was Saul. He's talking about his conflict he still has in the present, because how it is written and how it's put together there. And this clause, or the clause sold under sin, basically describes an ungenerated person, because they're not changed, they're not saved, they're sold under sin. But it also explains a person who's still in Christ. Why? If we would lose, when the scripture in 2 Corinthians says that all things are, old things are passed away, all things become new, if we would completely lose that sin nature, do you realize you would never physically die? Because sin caused physical death and spiritual death. If you lose that sin nature, you don't have sin in you, then you'll never die. And I want to tell you what, I want to die in this world, because I want to live forever up there. So we got to understand, there is a sinful nature that is not removed from us. we are removed from the penalty of, we are removed from the bondage of, but boy, it's still in there. And we have to understand that and realize that. And Paul, I think, is dealing with that because of this indwelling. Sin continues to seek and to claim what it once owned. Just as much as we've studied how, why do bad things happen to good people? We listed some of those. One of those things is God wants his child back. Sometimes we'll go through things because we're going down a road that God doesn't want us to go down. We're doing things God doesn't want us to do, and sometimes he'll bring us back. He has every right to do that. He created us, he bought us, and we're his children. There's no difference with sin nature. There's no difference what Satan wants. There's no difference. He owned us all at one time. While we were yet in our sin, we belonged to Satan. We were in his side. We now know Christ, and therefore we are in Christ's side, and we're never going to lose that. But our sinful nature that is run by the flesh, that is owned and run by Satan, he wants us back. And there's a continual battle. Just as there's a continual battle, Paul says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. There's things going on around us that we're not even aware of. So this nature within us is very important because it wants us back after we become a Christian. And that's why we need to be more aware of that battle that's raging. And that's why, as we mentioned this morning, these are the things you got to do. As we mentioned through Corinthians and through Romans and the verses this morning about renewing the mind and staying with the Spirit of God every day of your life. Why? Because that battle rages crazy. And it's a battle that sometimes we win and sometimes we lose. But there's an interesting phrase as we go down through this text a little bit, and we'll pull out some more of this understanding. So when you see in verse 14, it's very, very important. Sold under sin is somebody who is not saved, but we are still having that nature within us, even though we are saved. We're not sold anymore, but we are still under that understanding of that presence of sin in our life. So we go down to verse 15, and says, "For that which I do, I allow not; for what I would, that I do, I not; but what I hate, that I did, that do I." Man, I just need to say, for the things that I do, I don't want to do; I do them anyway. For the things I hate, I do them too. Much easier to read it that way. Verse 16 says, "If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law." That is good. Now then, it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So when you look at these three verses, what we need to understand, first of all, is that he was almost like a little child when they get caught. Why did you hit your brother? Why did you do that? I don't know. Two phrases that frustrate every parent. I don't know. I know. Because when they say, I don't know, you're trying to ask, have them confess something. And when you're trying to encourage them to do something, or do you realize, I know. That sin nature comes alive in parents when that happens, okay? It's those two phrases that really get under your skin when kids do that to you. But Paul was like that same thing. And Paul's saying, I don't know. I don't know why I do what I don't want to do. I don't know why that I hate these things, but I still do them. And Paul is simply saying in his own personal experience, I don't know. But then he begins, I think in maturity, he begins to talk about it and he begins to understand it a little bit more, why he does these things. And again, simply saying, I don't know. So when you look at this phrase that he has in verse 16, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Why is the law good? Well, we saw that in verse 14, which saw that in verse 12. Because God gave the law. That's what the law was for. The law was put there so that when we do what we don't want to do, we're still under the law of God. We're still understanding. The law tells us we're wrong. The law tells us that we did wrong. But I think the key phrase in that is that he doesn't want to do it. It's the desire. It's still the Christian life he has within him. It's the good. In fact, it's interesting when you see this this phrase in verse 16 about the law that is good, that word good there, that Greek word says beautiful, noble, excellent. The law is placed there by the mighty God. And we're not talking about just the Ten Commandments. We're talking about the God's word. God's word is the law. God's word is the commandments. Anytime God says don't or do, it's a commandment. It's the law of God. It's his word. So he's not just talking about a certain set. But that word there, in fact, in verse 12, it's a different Greek word. In verse 12, it says it's useful. It's upright. And so in verse 12, it says, wherefore the law is holy, it is just, it is good, it's upright. It's there for you and I to remind us that we still got a sin nature within us. Because when we forget that, it's almost like thinking you've won the battle, turn your back on the battlefield, you're done. Because he's raging after you. That's what 1 Peter states. He's coming after us as a roaring lion, wanting to devour us. Listen, Satan doesn't have to devour those who are already on his side. Satan's coming after those who have gone to the other side. And he does that within us. We are our worst enemies. We become our worst enemies because we battle and rage within us. Because we have a desire to do. We have a desire to want. We have a desires of things. And they may not all be the right things. They may not be the good things. So that is where I think where it takes place and takes effect. So in verse 16, when it says that law is good, it's very important to put that into perspective. Because when verse 17, and he says that it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. It's interesting because in that phrase, we understand him to simply say, he was speaking of the conflict between the desires and the sin within him. He says in verse 17, very important, it is no more I that do it. Now he's not shunning his responsibility like a young child would. They made me do it. They made me. Raising Kevin was an absolute blessing. Did you hit your sister? No. 10 minutes later, no. I punched her. It's all in the wording, right? It's all in the wording. Paul says, listen, I'm not shunning my responsibility. What he is saying is my desire, and we see that, what I don't do, I do, what I want to do, I don't. His desire is to live his Christian life. Your desire is to live your Christian life. There's nobody in here tonight that doesn't have a strong desire to live that Christian life. And so when he says in verse 17, I know more that I did it. I'm not choosing to do it. It's in me to do it. Yes, he did it. Yes, he said it. Yeah, but it's in me. I don't desire it. I don't want it. And that's the personal struggle that Paul just mentioned. That's the personal struggle that he has, speaking of his desires against the sin within him. He's not doing it purposely. It's just there. And so I've always been told you can always tell the heart of a man when he hits his thumbnail with a hammer. Usually the first thing that rips because it hurts. You'll know the heart of a man. I don't know. Mine's still working, so it's all good. But when we see what he's talking about here, and again, that dwelleth in me, Paul never, ever, ever said sin stopped dwelling in him. And we need to understand that. Because I think we at times walk around thinking that we're okay. We're not going to be affected by. We would never do that. We would never go that direction. You got to be careful. Because some of my mentors in college as professors have fallen to things that they said they would never fall to. Nobody is above that sin inside them. We don't choose it. We don't want it. Our desire is to serve God. Our desire is to be a child of God. But that ugly beast raises its head every now and then. And it usually happens at the spur of the moment when something happens to you. Like the cutoff. The car cuts you off. Or you hit your thumbnail with the hammer. Or you something just, you know, brings you on that day when you just got to your boiling point. One more thing happens and That's not your desire. That's not what you want to be look like. That's not what you want people to think about you. But boy, that's in there, and it's going to come out unless we continue to walk with the Spirit of God. That's the only thing that quenches that. And I think we saw that as we studied through that this morning. But going down to verse 18, as we go down through another little area, Paul experienced, basically convinced him that the law was good. In verse 18, for I know that in me, that is my flesh, that's the carnal, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I just don't know. I have a desire to do it right. I want to do good, but there's no good in me. I don't know how to do this. So again, explaining that conflict that is in each of one of us. Paul's now continuing to explain that. So we go down to verse 19. For the good that I do not, but the evil which I would not that I do. Again, Paul says, I want to do good. I want to serve God. I want to be the Christian. I want to be a child of God that God is approving of. And now we know Paul's life. Paul didn't write Romans at the end of it, or at the beginning of his journey with Christ. Paul didn't write the book of Romans when he just became a Christian. He struggled with this, his Christian life. And yet, look at all that he did for Christ. Look at all that he did for God. He's got a phenomenal testimony of what he did as a missionary, as a warrior for the cause of Christ. But inside, he struggled. And I truly believe that defines every one of us today. We are doing the best we can. We're serving God the best we can. But there's an inner struggle within us that we need to be aware of and we need to conquer. So can we do this? Can we conquer this as we go down through this text? We need to understand there's really this sinful nature. Again, in a sinful nature, we realize that the principle of sin expresses itself through what? We mentioned this morning, what we see, what we hear, what we touch, everything has to be worked through the grid of our mind. Well, coming out the other side is the same way. It comes out, the principle of sin comes out through our mind. We don't do anything until we think it. We can't speak anything until we think it. We can't grasp, touch, see. It all has to be through the grid of our mind. And sin does the same thing. It comes through that grid. It comes through that mind. Because that's why he says, I know what I should do and I don't. The evil I don't want to do, I do. And so that's an important phrase that we need to understand as Paul continues. Because he says in verse 20, For if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Same thing again. He almost repeated the exact same thing in verse 20 as he did earlier in the text, in verse 17. It's what dwells within me. It's in me. I don't want it. I don't want it to come out. I don't want people to hear the words. I don't want people to hear the bad attitude. I don't want people to do that. But it just comes out. Paul says, I can't stop it. And I'll tell you, it's hard, isn't it, to stop it? Especially in the day and age we live. There's just some people get under your skin. There are just some situations of life you scream out to God about. There's some things that happen to us that sin, it just comes out. Now, it's not a Flip Wilson thing. You're all old enough to understand that one. You know, the devil made me do it. It ain't that either. We have that sin nature that has not been removed, but it has been conquered. It hasn't been removed from us, but we're not stuck to it anymore. The unsaved world, they are stuck to that sinful nature. Therefore, their depravity of their mind is very obvious in what we see. See, Paul recognized in this text that he had an indwelling principle of sin that owed him, or he owned him as a slave. He was slave to it at one time. We're all slave to it at one time. And so because he was slave to it, and it still expressed itself through him doing things that he didn't want to do. It's proof. Because I'm pretty sure that last week we all did something that we really didn't want to do. Now, it's not because we were asked to do it. We just, something, thought process, words that came out of our mouth, something we just, man, I shouldn't have said that. And it couldn't have been extremely bad, but it was something that shouldn't have been said. We have that within us. Paul says again, it's that thing, the principle of sin that comes out in me that really shares and shows the problem is common to every one of us. It's just not a Paul thing. It's just not a me thing. It's an all of us thing. And we need to be more aware of it. Because if we're more aware of it, we will be more willing to do what it takes to stifle it. Because we do not want to have the reputation. And listen, there are some Christians out there that have destroyed their testimony and their reputation with God because of what they do out in the world. People will look at them and say, that's a Christian? I've had people tell me way back in the ministries that, wow, those people go to your church? I ain't going. Why? It's because what we do out there. It's what comes out of us out there. We need to be aware of how important it is to keep it in check. And when we're not keeping it in check, you know what happens? Somebody says something. A life circumstance will blindside us. Whew, there it goes. And you just ruin your testimony to somebody. So it's very important that we understand this, how much it's in. Paul felt very clear of how hard it was for him to do this. So in verse 21 through 23, it says, I find in the law that when I would do good, evil is present within me anyway, or it's still there. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity into the law of sin, which is in my members. And what Paul is saying is what we said this morning. You have to have the mind in check. We are in Christ. We are the Spirit of God. We have an ability to be discerning. We have an ability to be able to have that thought process that doesn't have to come out of our mouth. We don't have to do that. We have to have the thought process going. And Paul says the same thing there about his mind. Because you and I, as regeneration of believers, this new nature, we have a capacity to love the spiritual truths. We have a capacity to be able to serve God and have that truth in our life. We have that ability. But we got to keep that sin nature in check, or it'll never come out. One of them is going to come out. I remember a long time ago, someone who was Indian descent had told me that every man has two wolves inside of it. Whichever one you feed, that's the one that comes out. We feed the spiritual side, that's what comes out. You feed the sinful nature, that's what comes out. And it's going to happen. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what position you hold. It's going to happen. So we have to remember to keep that in check, the best of our abilities, and to keep that in realm. Again, the principle of sin at work, Paul says there's another law that is worn against me on the inside. There's another law that's inside me, as he says in verse 23. It's another law in my members, not just the good law of God, but there's a law of sin in my life that's worn against me, not allowing me to do what I want to do. It's that principle of sin. And the principle is continually doing several things in our life. First thing, as we see in this, verse 23, first thing that the other law is doing is warring against the law of my mind. We know we want to do it right. We think about doing it right. We have this principle in our minds that, listen, we want to wage war in this. We don't want to do this. My desire is to be a good Christian. My desire is to do it the way God wants it done. That other law is warring against that. It's battling, it's raging. The second thing we find in verse 23, not only warring against the law of my mind, but it's bringing me into captivity to the law of sin. It brings me back in. And that was Paul's whole message to the church in Galatia, wasn't it? Don't go back. Why are you going back? Who bewitched you? Why are you going back under the law? Don't go back under the captivity of the law. You're freed from that. And yet we do it. We have this nature in us that wants to captivate us back under and back in the area that we don't want to be in. So when we see this, and again, how do we win this? How do we to move beyond this? Paul comes down in verse 24 and says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Paul asks the same question. How can I win this battle? How can I overcome this? Because you and I need to realize, as Paul realized, that you and I will, in our mortal bodies, one, will always face this conflict. In our mortal, you're never going to be done with this conflict until you stop breathing. The conflict is always going to be there. Don't matter how old you are, don't matter how much scripture you have memorized, don't matter how good you are spiritually, don't matter what position you hold, that battle rages within, period. Always got to be aware of that. We always have to be on our toes with that, because you and I basically will never be able to, on our own, beat this. Because this basically is what we understand it to be, is this sin nature in us, and trying to do it and beat it of ourselves, basically defeat and frustration. And, you know, if we're not upset at ourselves when that sin nature wins and we say something we shouldn't say or do something, shame on us. When that sin nature wins in that moment, we need to be frustrated. We need to say, man, alive, I can't believe that. I blew it again. Because we're trying so hard with the desire to be like Christ, and that sin nature pops back out again. It happens, and it happens to all of us. There's no way that we will ever win this. Paul says, how can I do this? I'm a wretched man. How can I be delivered from this? And then verse 25, he's pretty bold with this. And I love the way his boldness in this, because the means of working through this conflict, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. The only way we can do it is keep our mind focused on Christ. That's the only way we win. That's how we walk in the Spirit. That's why we walk in the Spirit of God, led by the Spirit of God. There's got to be things up here as we go into situations that we know God's going to recall. Remember in John 14:26, he's going to recall the things that the disciples were taught. They didn't have the written scriptures. They had the Old Testament. But can you imagine being in a 2-year, 3-year ministry with Christ and trying to remember all the teaching he gave you? All the things he said, all the things he helped you with. He said, that Spirit of God is going to recall back the things that I taught you. That's why we read the Word of God. That's why we're involved in the Bible. That's why we speak the truth, because it's here. It goes in. And when we are in need of something far greater than what our ability is able to do, the Spirit of God, led by the Spirit of God, will give us what we need. Always. Always. And so when Paul ends that text or that phrase that he thanks God through Jesus Christ our Lord, because as long as his mind stayed on God, he served his desires. When it says in that verse, I myself served, what he's saying is, I was able to live out the desires of my heart. I want to be that child of God. I want to do it right. I'm able to do that. Because my flesh, I got to keep it in check. Man, if Paul says that, if Paul had to do that, imagine how much more we got to do that. We are just like Paul. We have the same God Paul has. Our circumstances of life is probably not as hard as what Paul had yet. We're still pretty free in our America. We're still able to do the things that we do in America. But I thought I did to explain that a little bit further tonight. I thought it was important. Because we got to be led by the Spirit of God. We have to continue to understand the battle, understand the renewing of the mind, understand that there is a conflict every second of the day for you to lose. It's a never-ending battle, never-ending fight. So for me, it's like, okay, now I can understand why there are times that I do what I know is not right. I don't want to do them as often. I want to try to keep them in check more often. The only way to do that is by the renewing of the mind. So hopefully any questions, puts it in a little bit of perspective. Any questions or any comments on that tonight? All right, let's go ahead and close in prayer. Father, we thank you again for the study. We thank you for the ability you give us, Father, for the ability not only just to win the battle, but Father, we got to choose to be winning the battle. It's our actions, it's our mind, it's our abilities that we have that we need to continue to allow you to just stay, our minds to stay focused on you, and Father, allow you to lead us. Lord, it is so easy to get caught up in the whims of the world and the whims of what's going on around us. And Lord, I just pray that you can help us to keep our desire to be that child of God, to be approved by you, workman. Lord, that we will continue just down that road and just help us to keep in check that nature within us. God, we just thank you, praise you in your son's name. Amen.